Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
Are you talking into your hands, Matt?
No, I'm in outer space. Jonathan, we have a problem.
I'm currently in Houston. Matt is somewhere in the stratosphere communicating to us via muffled microphone technology. And from this roundabout intro, you might have been able to guess, or maybe just from the title of the podcast that you clicked on. This week we're reviewing the new film Gravity.
Yes, I'm not really in space. I'm not really in space. Sorry for the trickery, listeners.
Well, that might be disappointing to the listeners. Maybe good for you. I've heard that space travel isn't necessarily all that smooth. Maybe we'll just be discussing that in our Gravity review.
And I'm hoping in our Gravity review that nothing goes wrong. What could go wrong?
I'll set my stopwatch for 90 minutes, and hopefully we can get the podcast one and done before 90 minutes comes around.
Yes.
So Gravity, before we started the podcast, we talked about this. Is it a sci-fi film? It's not really sci-fi. It's in space.
No, there's no aliens, yeah.
But there's no aliens. It's not futuristic. It's just present-day
no technology
fiction involving science-y sort of space technology, but it's not science fiction.
Yeah, like, I guess for all I know, it could be, like, science fiction because I don't know what technology is owned by NASA, so I'm not sure if that's stuff they have today, but I assumed it was.
So if we're not going to categorize it as sci-fi, I guess it's probably an action film, a thriller, a bit of a survival sort of thriller set in space.
Mm. Castaway in space. with two people.
Yeah, there was Tom Hanks and Wilson. This has Sandra Bullock and George Clooney.
Yes.
We'll be comparing George Clooney's performances to Wilson's in the podcast. Let us know who you thought did the better job.
So, yeah, let's talk a bit about this film. Let's start off with the director, because this is a director that directed this movie. He's got a bit of a claim.
The film directed by Alfonso Cuarón, may or may not be pronouncing that correctly, a director we haven't seen in I think about 7 years, but one that people have been waiting for. People perhaps don't mind waiting 7 years to see another film from, because they were a big fan of that one, Children of Men. Were you a fan of this film, Matt? Because I know some people really, really love this one.
I thought the direction was really strong in Children of Men, and I thought it was a good film, but maybe a bit overrated. I was not the biggest Children of Men. I think after hearing so much positive stuff about Children of Men, I was maybe a little disappointed when I saw it, to be honest. But yeah, it's still a very strong film, and the direction very strong. I know there's one long tracking shot in the film that is very, very good.
Yeah, I think that shot goes for 10 minutes or something, and partway through some blood gets splattered on the lens and it just keeps rolling. It's a pretty memorable shot. I think I feel a little bit similarly to you, that it had an interesting setting, some strong themes, and was amazing visually, but perhaps story-wise, dialogue-wise, didn't quite reach that level. And so it was a film that I really enjoyed, but didn't become an instant favorite like it did for some people.
Mm. Definitely means that this film could be very good because of the director attached to it. I think, like, I'd seen enough in Children of Men to know this guy has some potential.
Perhaps some potential also spilling over from a film he directed, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, which I thought was quite interesting to find out when I was looking the director up on IMDb. That was a bit of a surprise. Unfortunately, I can't provide an interesting response to that, seeing as I haven't seen Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Matt, I know you like Harry Potter a little bit more than me.
Yes, I do. I haven't seen that movie, though.
You skipped that one.
I'd read the books for the first 4.5, and I was a bit disappointed with how they adapted the first two books into movies, so I didn't bother watching them.
Did you skip the first half of the fifth movie? You're like, well, I read the first half of the book, I'll just jump in at around, you know, 50 minutes.
No, I didn't. I saw the whole fifth movie. So.
So getting back to Gravity, you couldn't really learn a lot from the posters and trailers, I think, from this film. You could see it was set in space, and we talked about the director. I guess one of the main things you picked up was that it had George Clooney and Sandra Bullock.
Mm.
So I guess we'll talk about those two a little in the film. We know Matt is a George Clooney fan, so maybe we'll get your opinion on the Cloonster in the film.
Yeah, well, George Clooney is a pretty great actor. I think he's probably the closest we have to, like, today's maybe Paul Newman-type actor. Just the quintessential movie star that turns in great performances. He's very, very good. He's charming, but he takes on some pretty interesting roles too. And I think so this is a pretty interesting role for him to take, a role that's just him and Sandra Bullock stuck out in space. And I agree with you, it was hard to get a sense for what the story of the movie was going to be from the poster and trailers. The only preconceived notions I had going into this film was, okay, it's about George Clooney and Sandra Bullock stuck in space. Yeah, they got to, like, I don't know, get out of space or something. That's pretty much all I knew the film was about. Like,
now, some people make fun of George Clooney for just playing himself in all his films.
But Namely you. You make fun.
Well, in George Clooney's defense, sometimes he plays George Clooney wearing a Hawaiian shirt, and yet he can also play George Clooney in a spacesuit. So I think he can show quite a bit of range in his performances, if you ask me.
He's so good, you believe that that's him.
Well, he does it again in Gravity. He kind of plays the laid-back, charming, sort of slightly narcissistic, but lovable George Clooney that you come to expect. And I guess he's sort of a calming influence in the film, really. His approach to things is very nonchalant. He's been around the block, George Clooney.
In this film, he's the astronaut that has... he's on his last mission, isn't he? He's...
It seems to imply it was something like that, or was the very end of this mission, at least for George Clooney.
Mm. He's very concerned about breaking a record for longest spacewalk, and he was going to miss out on breaking the record. Sandra Bullock was going to fix the equipment too quickly for him, so he would have had to go back inside earlier.
Didn't the old Clooney v. Anatoly rivalry rearing its head again.
Do you think Bullock was a bit of a bad friend by not agreeing to just, like, take a bit longer on the thing to keep him out? Getting to break the record.
It was quite interesting. This film seemed like a balance of trying to lengthen certain activities in order to beat this record and speed things the hell up because disaster is impending.
Yes. Yes, I agree. So they've got the record, but unfortunately it's going to have to go in beforehand. But look, it seems like often in these movies, when we've got someone on their last day of work, some of them just, you know, oh, I'm too old for this. Like, just, I want it to be over. Like, I'm not like, but he seems to still have the wonder and the excitement about the job that he had maybe when he started. He seems to still be in awe of being out in space.
Yeah, he seems to still be able to appreciate the view. And in a bit, we'll address our opinions on the view, perhaps some of the visuals in the film. And I guess he still has the enthusiasm for telling stories. He wants to entertain his fellow astronauts, and he has a story for everything. And yeah. I thought they maybe referred to that, you know, maybe like quite a few times, maybe one or two too many, but I did like that. I did. Oh, I told you the one about the Mardi Gras. I wanted to hear the stories. When he said that, I was like, oh, well, even if he's told Houston this story before, I want to hear the story now.
Yeah, and I'd forgive him for retelling this, because I am someone who tends to tell the same stories over and over again. I do. I am often telling people stories and going, oh, there was this time, and then going, yeah, I know, you've told me this. What do you think the move is if someone's telling you a story they've already told you before? Do you tell them as soon as they start to tell you, or do you tell them at the end? Because I've had people tell me at the end, and then you feel like a bit of an idiot.
I think you definitely don't wait to the end and then say, yeah, you've told us that before. They would be like, well, why didn't you tell me? I just wasted 5 minutes of my time looking silly. I think if they start the story and maybe they tell the story differently, or this time they're going into more detail, that's okay. But if you feel like you're getting the same prepared version of the story that you got last time, I think you have to jump in. You go, oh, yes, I remember the one where in the end it turned out the key was in the drawer the whole time, or whatever the story is.
There you go. Oh, yeah, the key's in the drawer. You've told me that before. That's a good one. Yeah, George Clooney, a lot of stories. They sounded fun stories. And he had a bad feeling about this mission. He said that about five times.
So we're liking George Clooney in the film so far. Sandra Bullock, the other main character, she's a little bit different. She's a little bit more reserved. Isn't quite as... What's the word that Raymond Devitt used to describe us two?
Oh, you mean our old screenwriting tutor back in the day?
Yeah.
Back in college. Right. Raymond Devitt, glib. He said we were glib. I remember this well.
Yes.
He said, "Hey, Raymond." Yeah. What was it? We were after class one day chatting with him. And he said, "I like you guys, but you're glib." And I think we said, "What do you even mean by that?" Said, you don't care.
Perhaps it was a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek approach to crazy old Raymond Devitt's screenwriting classes.
Yes.
good times. Well,
we don't take this seriously enough.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock had a little bit of a less glib approach to space travel than George Clooney. She's a bit more quiet, and I think she's trying to get information or testing something that's going to be used. It's like a prototype for some hospital piece of equipment or something like that.
Yeah, if it'll work in space, it'll work in a hospital. Is that the theory? If it'll work in space, it'll work in a hospital?
Sounds like sound logic to me.
I feel like she's been duped. I feel like she's got the piece of technology. This will be great for hospitals. And they've gone, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, no, that'll work. Look, how about you go to the space station and you can set it up there. And then when you've done that, you can come back here and we might put in the hospital.
Sounds like an expensive method of...
of getting rid of Sandra Bullock?
Yeah. Putting her on like a $1 billion space mission. That's why healthcare is so screwed up. They're spending billions of dollars sending Sandra Bullock into space.
Yes. Okay. So anyway... But anyway,
so what do you think of Sandra Bullock in general, Matt?
She's okay. I quite like Sandra Bullock. I don't not like her. Thought maybe I wouldn't have given her an Oscar for her performance in The Blind Side, but she wasn't bad in it.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock, somewhat famous for winning an Oscar and a Razzie in the same year. I don't think I would have given her either, because to me, as you said, Sandra Bullock, she's all right. I think... she can give some decent dramatic performances, and some of her comedies are okay as well. I didn't see it, but the trailer for The Heat was kind of funny. So I didn't jump when I heard that Sandra Bullock was in the film, but I thought she's solid alongside George Clooney. Could be a pretty good team.
She won't screw it up.
Yeah, Matt's famous categorization of actors and actresses. They'll do the job.
Yeah, she'll get the job done. So there you go, Sandra Bullock. So
for $10 million, I'd do the job as well.
Yeah. So they're in space. There's also another guy on the space station with them. He likes to dance.
Do you feel like he should have been on the poster as well? There's three people that we get to see on the space mission, and yet two of the three make the poster.
I feel like I had a pretty good read on when his number would be up. I hope that's not a spoiler from the fact that he wasn't in the posters.
So the story, in short, they're doing a mission and inevitably something goes wrong. And from then on, things just kind of escalate. Or just levitate, really, because you're
things
in space.
Things get out of... Yeah. I think I said at the end of the movie, boy, that got out of hand.
Maybe now let's talk about how it looked, because that's a big part of the film. You got a great visual director,
yeah.
A film that we both saw in 3D as well. Now, we've been critical of 3D in the past. We say they're expensive tickets for something that doesn't enhance the film. Matt, you actually saw the first film first. Did you see it in 3D?
I did see it in 3D. It was my birthday. It was my birthday, and I decided it's what better way to spend my birthday
watch
than
3D grab. If I want to. Yeah.
3D if I want to. Yeah. So that was good. So I got a bit of a group together, a bit of a troop, a movie team, the A team, minus you, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say. Missed one of their starting players.
Yeah. We called someone up from the bench for the movie A team. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of us all went to see Gravity at midnight in 3D, midnight session. So that was very exciting. And boy, oh boy, I was very impressed with the 3D in this movie.
Yeah, I saw this at the, I believe it's called the Cinerama Dome at ArcLight Cinemas. And it's an IMAX 3D where the screen sort of curves around a little bit. So you really got the sense of being in the film. Because not only does it sort of curve around you, then you've got the 3D popping out at you. And just right off the bat, I'm going to say, in terms of 3D experiences, this has been my favorite so far.
I would agree. I like in the 3D movie whenever the, like, nut floats out or the bolt, like, which happened a couple of times in the movie, like, reaching out my hand.
And everyone tries to grab it. Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to grab it, which I found a lot more amusing than the people I've gone and seen the movie with. Like, I was like, oh, this is funny, reach out and touch the thing, and yeah. But
Put your hand down, there's people behind us.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think maybe my one gripe with the 3D is maybe they did that a little too much. Just had the thing fly out in front of you, like you were at a theme park.
I think you got a couple of random objects fly out at you just to show you that it's reminding you that you're watching a 3D film. And then a couple of things just for, you know, the visceral response, like, whoa, there's an explosion or something goes past your face. And then, but there was a couple of others that were actually, I think, I don't want to spoil that work, what they were, but I think they were used really poignantly in the film.
Yeah.
There was, you know, a bit where I just had to take a bit of a breath and think, whoa, that's a memorable shot.
There was an explosion that I, for a split second, thought something was going to hit me. I moved my head. I, like, ducked out of the way of some space debris. That's how much the movie had me, and that's how good the 3D was.
I think perhaps my favorite thing about the film was you really got the feeling of being in space.
Yeah.
And I think that was a combination of the effective 3D and the visual effects in general. At no point in the film did I think this is CGI, this is green screen, this person's hanging from a wire. The sense of no gravity was fantastic. The way things floated and moved was fantastic. The shots of Earth and debris and stars and things in the background were all beautiful and entirely realistic. And to genuinely feel like you were in space for 90 minutes is quite a cinematic experience.
Do you want to go to space now? You've gotten a bit of a taste.
There were some pretty spectacular views, but I was able to enjoy them quite a lot from a movie seat. It might be a little bit more expensive and perhaps risky to go all the way to space to see that. At some points I was quite stressed in the cinema. I can only imagine how stressful it would have been to be George Clooney or Sandra Bullock.
Do you think if you're running the tourism bureau for outer space, you would not be happy with gravity being out at the moment?
The dying NASA program, which is offering tickets to insane billionaires, are they happy with the promotional work being done by gravity? Perhaps not.
Because it looks good. One of the people I saw the movie with said, oh, that was very intense, but it did look nice. I said, it was beautiful. They go, well, I wouldn't go that far.
That sounds a little bit gay, dude.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about the visuals. I said this could perhaps be called an action film. What did you think of the action in the film?
I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was pretty great action. I was pretty on the edge of my seat, excited. However, it did get to a point where it did feel a little deja vu. Like, I feel like by the time they get to, like, the third space station, I'd sort of seen the scene before. Very similar, like, opening the door and then back in the, you know, climbing through the thing and grabbing onto the thing. Like, it did seem a little repetitive, some of those action sequences.
I really liked the action for the most part. I thought they did a good job of putting you in that moment, and you really felt the fear or the disorientation or whatever was going on in that scene. And I think they did a good job of giving you timers or countdowns. So the complete opposite of Dark Knight Rises, messing up the time-space continuum with their clocks and countdowns. There was always something, you know, that was impending. You know, it's like, oh, only 2% oxygen left, or 7 minutes until this comes around again. It kept the pace up, which I enjoyed. But I think I mentioned this in the Argo podcast. Towards the end, there were a few things that felt a little bit artificial. Just, oh, here's another thing to make you feel tense, and then another thing to stress you out, which didn't feel that organic. But for the most part, I think the film succeeded in all the action scenes.
I think someone did say to me after the movie, could it have ever been the second last thing that's grabbed onto? Like, does it always have to be the last, like, possible moment? Could a couple of times it have been the second last or the third last moment just to mix things up?
Who wants to hit the game-winning home run in the fifth inning? Like, bottom of the ninth. That's what we want to see.
But if it's the bottom of the ninth every game, does it get off? Every game of the world. Actually, that would be a pretty epic World Series at the bottom of the ninth every
game. If you legitimately think they could lose each time, and then they pull it out at the bottom of the ninth each time, yeah, I think that's the way to go.
That is pretty awesome. But here's the thing with the film, okay? The length is it's 90 minutes. We're very impressed with the length of this film, correct? This is Return of Jafar 101.
I think this potentially the shortest film we've reviewed since Return of Jafar.
Yeah. So very good. it was not, you cannot accuse this film of being too slow or wasting time or anything like that, okay? Very, very good time management. However, what do you think about the problem? Someone said to me after the film also, it felt like there was no breaks. It was just action, 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 tension, 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 drama. You didn't have a moment just to pull back from it. And maybe could the film have been more effective if they did have a moment or two where you just had a break from all of that? Or did it need to be this intense, intense, intense intensity just constantly thrown at you?
I think it depends what you fill those gaps with.
Mm.
I think the film was a little bit thin in terms of subplots and themes and things, but it was okay because the film was only 90 minutes. I mean, you did get a little bit of character backstory. There was, you know, a little bit about what do you live for and some things about, you know, maybe space pollution, that sort of thing. But if the film were longer, the film would have been spread a little bit thin. I agree to an extent. I think the film was paced very well, but there was just maybe a little bit in the back half where it could have been broken up a touch.
Mm. I do agree too, but also, like, I'm glad Hollywood in this case erred on the side of getting in and getting out with a good story rather than padding it with nonsense. I feel really like me watching this movie with people, because this was an intense movie. This was an intense experience. The people I saw it with were on the edge of their seats, and really, some of them were shaken up at the end of the movie. Some of them didn't really want to even, like, talk much at the end of the movie. Like, they just like, oh, how do you find, like, yeah, it was a lot went wrong. A lot went wrong. Like, like I feel like in the movie, I was a bit like the George Clooney who was, like, was enjoying the ride and sort of kept my cool and was making jokes. And the other people in the movie didn't really have the patience for my they were just like, come on, man, we're on an important mission. We're on, this is a big movie. Stuff has gotten real, man.
I think regardless of what you think of the film, people are going to react to it. I remember walking out of the cinema and there was a guy and a girl behind me, and the guy said, loved it. It was a thrill ride. And the girl said, hated it. I was too stressed the whole time.
Yeah. Yep.
So whether you liked it or not, things were happening. People will respond to this film.
Yeah. And but yeah, I was worried the person driving me home from the movie, they seemed pretty shaken up. that's in some ways, like it or don't like it, that's a powerful film.
So there's some other people's responses. Perhaps it's now time for our response, the screen verdict on Gravity.
Yes.
I think I covered a lot about what I liked in this film. I think visually it was stunning. I think the 3D worked excellently. The action was fast-paced and you were involved and you were just gripped the whole time. I liked the performances. I thought a couple of things were a bit artificial. It was like a tiny bit irritating, but I completely forgave that in the film because it just achieved so much in 90 minutes. There were moments where I was, you know, gripping my seat or jumping out of my seat, not literally, but there were some startling moments. I was there with my girlfriend, Bonnie. I hope she doesn't mind me saying this. She was holding on pretty tight. She was definitely pretty tense in the film. And the best thing about the film is it's a cinematic experience. It's just something that if you go to the cinema to see this, and I recommend seeing this in 3D, and I almost never say that, you will totally escape reality for 90 minutes. You'll feel like you are in space, and you will feel like you are on an emotional roller coaster. And I think that's a really powerful and perhaps the best thing a film can achieve. I think this is going to be talked about awards season, perhaps even around the Scream Verdict Awards. So I'm going to give this a 9 out of 10.
Boy, Gravity is a film that is, I think, pretty special in its ability to just have you escape. And I think it's got this great mix of tension and excitement, but at the same and stress, but at the same time, it is a beautiful movie. Like, the looking at the shots of Earth from space are stunning. The shots of the night sky are incredible. Like, it's got a real sense of danger, but also a sense of wonder and beauty to it. And, like, that's why in some ways I think I identify more with the George Clooney character, who sort of can appreciate the wonder and beauty of where he is in outer space while at the same time dealing with the disasters that are coming their way. By no means am I claiming that if I was in that situation, I'd be able to keep it cool.
A lot easier from the cinema seat than Clooney's jetpack.
Yes. That was a cool jetpack. The 3D was incredible. It was just such good 3D as well. So, look, there's just not much to complain about with this film. I do think in some ways it got a bit repetitive towards the end. Like, oh, yes, I've seen this. I've seen a space station blow up. I've seen whatever. I think that was a bit of a shame that was the case. I love the just a quick shout out. I love the Marvin the Martian reference in there. I thought that was fantastic. What a great Looney Tunes nod. It's fantastic. Maybe Marvin the Martian building a very good resume. This and Space Jam, a very good lineup of movies under his belt. So that was really cool. A nice little space Looney Tunes nod. Yeah, I just thought it was incredible. And I'll give it a 9 out of 10 as well. I think it was very... The ability it had to immerse yourself in space, that's something special and something I don't think many films can do with immersing yourself anywhere, let alone out of space.
Well, there you go. It's been a couple of good weeks for Scream Verdict. We enjoyed Breaking Bad. We enjoyed Gravity.
Mm.
And I think we might be talking about them come the end of the year.
Mm. So, Jonathan... Let's open the door. We've deferred this long enough. We've teased people enough. A housekeeping segment. Let's crack it open.
Yes, the long-awaited housekeeping segment. Time to deliver on our promise. I think initially we said we'd play a game of where in the world is Jonathan Cook? Perhaps a trick question. Perhaps I am the one who is in space. But much
do they have an arch-like cinema there now?
But much like Matt at the start of the podcast, I am not really in space. I am, however, on the other side of the world. It is yet another version of Scream Verdict International with Matt back in Sydney, Australia, and me in Los Angeles, United States of America.
Hollywood.
Just throwing up my jazz hands. Yeah, been hitting up the casting couches. It's not quite what I expected, but I think my big break's coming anytime soon. Been handing out the Scream Verdict podcast business card at all the water coolers. It's only a short time before one of the major studios calls us about the Scream Verdict movie.
How it got started, all the fights, it's like the Facebook movie. Believe it or not.
That's why I'm in LA, to find the highest powered lawyers possible.
The Zuckerberg guys.
Yeah, I want Zuckerberg's guys.
That's cool. And you've done some exciting things, Jonathan. You've seen some of the baseball playoffs.
Yeah, I went to an epic Dodgers game where they qualified for the championship series. Crowd went nuts, getting close to the World Series. That was a great, great time.
You saw a movie with Tom, guest of
Tom
the podcast.
Tom O'Neill from goldderby.com got me into an advanced screening of the new and Coen Brothers film. So I'm definitely living the Hollywood lifestyle while I'm here.
Yeah. We'll have to do a podcast on Llewyn Davis now, I think.
Yes,
get your stories from that. I saw an advanced screening of Captain Phillips this week, and I'll just tease us for when we do the Captain Phillips podcast, a bit of a celebrity interaction.
Wee.
Captain Phillips. Yeah, and this is an Australian celebrity, okay? This isn't Tom Hanks or anyone. This is not someone from the movie. Don't get people's hopes too high. Someone Jonathan's being compared to.
It's a teaser for the listeners and a teaser for myself. Mm. Intrigued to see who that is.
Yes. So anything else exciting from America, Jonathan, can you report on?
I've been training jiu-jitsu hard. Gym run by Cabrinho. He's a four-time world champion. Everyone there is a beast, so that's been some quality training. Been doing a lot of fun things, going to a lot of good places to eat with the pretty much the best girl. So going to embarrass her on the podcast.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And just generally having a good trip. It's been a very good time so far.
Oh, it's very good. It's very good to hear. All our thoughts are with you at the moment, Jonathan. You're having a good time over there. Not too good a time, so you come back. Yeah.
Well, there's one thing that you and U.S. immigration have in common. I can only stay here for so long.
Oh, good. Oh, good. I've been having a word with them. Now, I've also got just to clarify, last week we had the betting bad results from our Breaking Bad game. I claimed victory because that's what it appeared like on my when I went into the Betting Bad account. It's been a week later. They've had time to sort it out. You've had time to get your Facebook working. So can you just give us hopefully a confirmation that I did win that?
Yes, well, I lost, but because of a technical issue, I wasn't actually able to see my exact points. Matt just said that he was ahead in the ranking. I was able to find my score, resolve the issue. Matt said he had 12.6K points, so 12,600. I had 12,000. Now, I was praying for some sort of loophole, some sort of issue, and Matt, you said that you thought you may have been unfairly rewarded some points.
Yeah.
But has that been resolved, Matt? Has that been changed? What's the Supreme Court's ruling on this Betting Bad scandal?
Well, let me just double check. So I am on 12,600. That is correct. I seem to have still been awarded those points, but like I think we've got to go with the site, the third party. So they're the third party. Far be it from me to question the
powers. I've been Al Gore. Yeah. Now I know how Al Gore feels.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like I won, but I definitely got more points, but somehow Matt has ended up with the title.
Yeah, there you go. If Walt Jr. had eaten breakfast, it would have been without question. You would have won.
As Breaking Bad has taught us, it's just no justice. Life isn't fair in the Breaking Bad world.
Yeah, but anyway, also for housekeeping, I did mention this earlier in the podcast. It was my birthday this past week, and Jonathan, you made a very sweet, a very lovely meme on the website, which was very, very appreciated. It was Tom Hanks saying happy birthday from six different time periods, which I give a better review to, a better Screen Verdict score. I give it a 10 out of 10, much better than Cloud Atlas.
I thought one of the best podcasters deserved a meme from one of the best films of the year, Cloud Atlas.
I think
it brought me great joy to bring you a happy birthday message or messages from Tom Hanks.
My comment was the best thing Tom Hanks has ever done in six time periods. and there were some people, some fans of the podcast that also sent through a happy birthday message in the comment section there. So thanks, Bob Phelan, for the happy birthday message. And thanks, Kristen Butler. Thank you, Kristen Butler, saying happy birthday from another continent. She says, North America's got your back. So thank you very much. It's always nice to know that North America has my back.
It's the place to be.
Yeah, Jonathan, shoring that support up over there. And it, you know what, Kristen, I hope I've got North America's back. Right back at you. So thanks very much for those birthday messages. I did have a lovely day. It was very nice. I had people around we made our own pizzas, which is always fun. And then we went and played night frisbee, glow-in-the-dark frisbee at the beach. So
nice.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then we went and saw Gravity, obviously. It's a nice ease us out of the evening, a nice calm way to end the birthday.
And the day and podcast came full revolution.
Yes, pretty much. Just like the Earth around the sun. Is that what you meant? Like, right?
Something like that.
It was a pleasure. I don't think much went wrong. And I think at the end of all this, we've got one hell of a podcast.
I think so. I hope you enjoyed our Gravity review. I think our next podcast could possibly be The Newsroom, maybe Captain Phillips. So some interesting things to look forward to. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Never let go
of the Screen Verdict podcast.
Yes.